It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
Here we go. Hour number 2 of the Drive underway. 4 o'clock here on Fan Run Radio. The Top 4 at 4 brought to you by our friends at Knoxville Smiles. Here's Alex Olive once again.
Your Top 4 at 4 today. Number 1, the Jacksonville Jaguars and Urban Meyer in advanced talks about the coaching opening. According to Adam Schefter, Meyer and the Jaguars met Wednesday, and they met again today. He is assembling a coaching staff, and the deal is trending towards being completed.
Urban Meyer to the NFL, where he will presumably be developing Trevor Lawrence.
Justin Fields.
Jacksonville Jaguars. What do you guys think? As a Titans fan, I got to say, I'm not scared.
I wouldn't be either.
I think it's a good move for him. I don't think that he's going to have wild success. It's hard.
I mean, the thing for me is going to be how he's going to deal with, you know, in the NFL. I mean, even the most successful guys, they lose quite a bit.
You lose quite a bit, and he's always been, you know, he goes to Florida, and it's not like Ron Zook left the cupboard bare there. He had players, and, yeah, he was able to recruit and add to it quickly and develop those players and win two national titles. But same thing, he goes to Ohio State. Jim Tressel, the guy who was interim, Fickle, did not leave the cupboard bare by any stretch of the imagination. He went undefeated his first full year there. And so he's never had to really build anything when the competition is that fierce. He's not going to be able to go out there and just get the best players, whoever he wants. He's going to have to build it from the bottom up. And I just wonder, is he cut out for that? Does he have it in him? Like, not taking a shot at the guy or anything, but it's a grind out there. And
yeah, but it's a lot better than going on the recruiting trail.
Well, and it is
being
a league
away from home all that time.
Sure, and he'll have scouts to kind of do that stuff for him. I don't think he has to be that big into the evaluation process. He can assemble a machine around him to where he just sort of has to be a CEO. But it's going to be difficult for him. That is a league where you either have a quarterback or you don't. And I believe if they take Lawrence, they will. And it might take a year for him to get rolling down there, but I do think he will be good. Alex, did you get trolled? Did you fall for the Vulcan tweet?
I almost did.
What kind of a moron would almost fall for the Vulcan tweet? He is so excited, Bear. He's like, he starts waving his phone at me.
As I turned it around, I saw the name Vulcan Ball.
Oh, yeah.
And I went, wait, nope.
What an amateur.
Yep.
What an amateur.
Yeah, Vulcan Ball.
I mean, you got to be a
Russell's.
You got to be a real brain donor to fall for that on the air as a trained radio professional. Alex, you got a lot to learn, brother.
I'm thinking my top 4 at 4 is about to get a lot more exciting.
Yeah, Alex is like, whoa! I've got the story of the century. Oh, my second top 4 at 4. I've got it. Wah wah wah.
So close.
And yet so far. Go ahead.
Number 2, Alabama football is finalizing a deal with Bill O'Brien to be the Crimson Tide's new offensive coordinator.
Bill O!
After Sarkisian left to go take the job at Texas.
Yada, 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 yada.
He'll be how long does he have to go into the Saban coaching rehab program? I think he'd have a lot of D1 Power 5 jobs knocking at his door a year from now.
No, yeah. It is going to be a short tenure.
Kind of like
I'm kind of surprised he's even doing it. He doesn't really need to go through the Saban rehab. I mean, he just burned, just flamed out in a pro job. Hmm.
All right. A lot of Alabama news, unfortunately. Number 3. Alabama Crimson Tide quarterback Mac Jones and 3 others declare for the NFL draft. That's Jalen Waddle, Defensive lineman Christian Barmore and defensive back Patrick Surtain. All four are projected to go in the first round, with along with Devontae Smith and Najee Harris would give Alabama 6 first-round picks, tying the all-time record.
Mac Jones isn't going in the first round.
Yeah, I'm not a huge believer in Mac Jones. I think he'll be good, and he obviously deserves a chance to play professional football, but I'm wondering how good he's actually going to be. Man, that 2017 Alabama recruiting class.
It's incredible. I wonder how much that whole thing cost altogether.
Price tag
between
pretty high.
The Hellcats and the cash and, you know.
Najee Harris, Alex Leatherwood, Dylan Moses, Jerry Jeudy, Brian Ray, Tua Tagovailoa, Jedrick Willis, Devontae Smith, Henry Ruggs, Isaiah Buggs. Yeah, they hit on a few that year.
Yeah, you think?
Good grief.
Number three.
That was number three.
That was number three.
Number four.
A Mickey Mantle baseball card has shattered a 5-month-old record for the highest-selling sports card of all time, going for $5.2 million.
Woo!
It's a 1952 Topps Mickey Mantle PSA 9.
I was never a huge baseball card guy, sports card guy, but that's a hell of a way to become a millionaire. You just happen to have some really old baseball card. $5 million for a baseball card.
Yep. Believed to be one of only 6 of that specific card in existence.
I don't get it. So what?
That's,
I don't get it.
That's the new thing now, man. That's the, it's back. Baseball cards, basketball cards, football. That's the new. It's back, man. Okay. Big time.
Well, either it's a new thing or it's back, Trey. You can't be both.
Well, it's back, Bear.
All right. So it's not a new thing. Just been a resurgence. I've always thought that was.
Well, there's new
stupid.
Kind of cards. There's new. They whatever. I've gone down the plane, bought a couple boxes.
Recently?
Yeah, in the last couple months.
As like an investment vehicle?
Yeah. Yeah, I got a couple Joe Burrow rookies. That are worth about $300-$400 a piece. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You are a sports car collecting enthusiast.
Enthusiast, maybe the wrong word. I'm not going out buying a box every day.
Well,
like
you
some
spent
people,
several hundred bucks on sports cards. I mean, what would you call it? You're a collector.
Yeah, I got my money back. So yeah, and more. So I'm good.
Speaking of money.
Yes.
Trey?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. All right, there's the top 4 of 4. It's brought to you by our friends at Knoxville Smiles. Check them out online, knoxvillesmiles.com. Get your smile looking sharp for 2021 at Knoxville Smiles. Call today to schedule your smile consultation, 865-539-1776 to set up your appointment. That's 539-1776. Or go online to knoxvillesmiles.com. We have Nick Bromberg coming up towards the bottom of the hour from Yahoo Sports. In the meantime, a couple of phone lines available if you want to jump in. 865-546-8200. Jeremy Pruitt reportedly meeting with University of Tennessee lawyers today as they continue their probe into his football program and recruiting practices. What will come of this? We don't know. When will it come? We don't know. The waiting game officially begins today. Let's go to the phones. Phil is up first this hour. Good afternoon, Phil.
Hey, Zay W.
Philly.
Is it true that Stark is trying to raid Saban's staff?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard that. Did he get Golding? He's trying to get his defensive coordinator, Pete Golding.
He got the special teams coach, didn't he?
That's the thing that irks Saban, too. Like, he remember that interview he did a couple of years ago where he's like, I don't mind. Like, people come and hire our guys. Like, that's part of it. But then when our guys turn around and raid and take two or three of our guys with them, like that's disrespectful or whatever to the opportunity that we gave them here, which I kind of get, but Sark does not appear to be paying that any mind.
Is it true that Nita Meyer was with that same farm yesterday, being almost all day? Just talking to Jeremy Pruitt today.
That rumor has been out there. Trey, earlier you said you're not prepared to go there just yet. What can you tell us about Niedermeyer and his interactions, if any, with the Glazer people?
He's had interviews with them. Niedermeyer's been interviewed a good amount.
So yesterday, yesterday wasn't like his first and only sit down, if he even sat down with them yesterday.
Right, correct. Yeah, correct. So I was kind of getting that. Yep.
Well, speaking of the Jaguars, is Meyer going to be a Jimmy Johnson or a Pete Carroll? That would be his legacy if he went there and did something, because he's coming to Jacksonville at the right time to do it, because they're going to get a bunch of draft choices, and they have all kinds of money. A blind fool probably could win down there, and that division ain't the best division in pro football either.
Yeah, I mean, it would appear to be set up, but they're starting from the bottom, and as Jacksonville's a franchise that just has not won much except for a few sporadic years here or there. But I would argue that all three of the team, granted, it's probably not the best division in football, but I think they're starting out in last place in that division. So it's a climb. I'll be interested to see how he does.
Well, if the Texans quarterback leaves, like everybody's predicting he's going to,
okay,
Trevor Lawrence will be the best quarterback in that division as a rookie. Not slot the Titans guy.
Oh, stop. The guy had a career year. He choked in the playoff. I will give you that.
Well, there you go. That's what it's all about, ain't it?
How did Trevor Lawrence do in the playoff?
He's won a championship since he's been at Clemson, though, hasn't he?
What
a Tannehill do at A&M? Nothing.
He's a very good prospect. Trevor Lawrence choked in their playoff game this year. He looked terrible. It's called
what the Cowboys do this year, Philly?
They suck. I know they suck. I don't go around pretending they're good like so many people do around here. The LSU and Alabama looks to me like that's Tennessee's competition for the SEC title in basketball.
I would tend to agree with that. LSU pretty impressive yesterday. They about ran Arkansas right out of the gym.
Yeah, and they play Alabama twice, so that's going to be interesting to see what happens there, won't it?
We need this league to cannibalize itself, Phil. We need some of these teams to start losing ahead of us, particularly Alabama and LSU, because I think we're going to drop a handful of games here, and it would be, I won't say it's a shame, but it would be a disappointment if we end up Keon and Springer walk out of here without at least winning the conference regular season championship.
Yeah, and you got to play Auburn. Now Auburn's got that point guard, and Buck Pearl looked pretty good the last couple of games, even though they lost Alabama. That Sharif Cooper is worth every penny that Buck Pearl got to him.
Oh, what are you implying, Phil?
Well, I don't understand why people don't cheat. It pays to cheat. Look at Will Wade. We're so bad when we cheat, we get caught and we just turn ourselves in and keep this crummy coach. It's ridiculous what we're doing over in our football program.
They're not going to keep him, Phil.
You think you're going to get rid of the skull can?
I just don't see how you don't.
Well, the longer he stays, he's kind of like a cancer. You know, it just keeps growing.
I don't like that analogy, but I hear what you say, Phil. Trey, percent chance Jeremy Pruitt returns as Tennessee's football coach next year?
I don't do percentages.
Oh, what do you mean you don't do? Everybody does percentages. I don't do percentages.
Oh, I don't want to do percentages. I ain't going to be
Ruffle.
Backed into a corner.
They're not backed into a corner. Hey, listen, if you say it's 65% that he won't be back, that's 35% that he will be back. I mean, that's like you're not backed into a corner there.
I'll say 50-50.
50-50. Okay.
That's pretty cool, Trey. 50-50.
He's going full Jeff Fisher.
One more thing. Exactly. So Tennessee is playing Vanderbilt Saturday?
reportedly.
We'll find out that probably later this afternoon, this evening. But I talked to somebody over there at Vanderbilt, and they think it's on. So we'll know more tonight, I'm pretty sure.
Well, it'll be nice to kick that butt Saturday down here in Knoxville.
It's your boy from Catholic making his return to Knoxville. Are we going to see him play?
I watch it on TV. I hope that Tennessee gets BJ and NJ Tomba. See
you. He's been getting minutes at a Supe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, he's been playing. He's a freshman, but he's been getting some minutes. I don't think he's been real productive as of yet. So I still think Barton should have signed him.
Daryl on Twitter asking about the Jay Hardy rumors. I'm sure you've heard that, Trey. Jay Hardy, the kid from Chattanooga who committed here and then decommitted and then led us on before ultimately signing with Auburn, where, of course, Kevin Steele and Rodney Garner were.
There's rumors he's thinking about hitting the portal.
And coming to Tennessee?
Yeah. Rumors.
You want Jay Hardy back, Bear, after he did us like that last year?
Yeah, why not, man?
He's just a kid, right?
Yeah.
Whatever.
I mean, I think back some of the stuff.
We took Tyler Smith back.
At that age.
Remember Tyler Smith when Bruce got him back after he went to Iowa? I mean, that was his dad basically personally attacked Bruce Pearl publicly. And then Bruce was such a good recruiter that he was able to, like, 9 months later, go back there and mend the fences and get him to come to Tennessee.
Yeah, and it really ended up after, I mean, his dad passed away. Am I remembering that right?
Yeah, Billy Smith.
Yeah, and then, you know, it ended up being a good thing for, as it turned out.
Sure.
I'd take
Jay Hardy back.
Yeah, I mean, kids do silly stuff. So, you know, that and we've kind of got a depth issue in defensive line. So,
and we just spent
kid's a good player
the majority of the first hour ranting about how our in-state recruiting has been so terrible. Now, if we have a guy that theoretically wants to come here, that was an in-state four-star defensive lineman, I don't see how you turn that down.
No, you don't. I mean, hell, I'm still pissed. We didn't even hit on this fact that, you know, they let that poor kid, Elijah Howard, from Macaulay.
Yeah.
Via Webb, a Knoxville kid, and just screwed him over.
Total jerk move.
By Jeremy. Pruitt's a clown. He needs to go. We'll give a percentage. Give us a percentage, Trey.
He
right
said
now.
50-50. What do you want from him?
50-50. That's the cop out. 50-50. This guy's currently meeting with somebody with a lawyer nicknamed the Bounty Hunter who counts amongst the scalps on his office wall. One Bruce Buck Pearl. And you're going to tell me 50-50, Trey Wallace? You're a fraud.
Oh!
Take a stand. Be a man.
Sorry, Bear. I'm good, buddy.
I'm 50-50. Make me sick, Trey. You know it's 95-5. You know it's 95-5.
Feeling is mutual. No, it's not 95-5. Some people hope it's 95-5.
I'm going
80-20. You're on the air with two of them right now.
I'm going 80-20.
80-20?
82-18.
I don't know. I mean, I would probably put it, but my brain says like 99-1. You could never say never, but
I think that's your heart that says 99-1.
No, I'm telling you, it's my brain. I mean, this guy's, I mean, he just went 3-7. You have shown a complete inability to recruit your home state. You know, your coaching staff is a revolving door. You treat people like garbage. You ran off, you know, Terry Fair, Tracy Rocker, and Jimmy Brumbaugh.
But it's COVID year. You're hemorrhaging money, and you gave the guy a raise and an extension before the season, Bear.
That's why I think him and Fulmer should go. And Fulmer should be fired for that. You can talk about a COVID year. On what planet was that okay? He gave himself one to boot. Battle Captain, let me down, man.
Bear turning on the Battle Captain has been among the most stunning developments on this radio show the past couple months, I have to say.
I never thought I'd do it. I didn't turn on him in 2005 with you guys. I certainly didn't
you
turn
have been
on
a
him
loyalist.
In 2008 when you guys were all calling for his head.
You drink that bath water with a garden hose.
I've always been a big fan of the Caps.
Put in some more hot water, Coach. It's getting kind of cold.
Yeah, it's fresh in my memory. The golden years, man. Won a lot of football games with that guy in command.
And now you want him gone.
Yeah, because he's obviously gone off his rocker.
He's made a couple of bad moves. He's not an AD.
A couple of bad moves.
He's a football coach.
The country is on the precipice of economic collapse due to the pandemic, and this jackass gives him not only this gump a raise, he gives himself a raise. Get the hell out of here, man.
We all thought it was just fine after this time last year.
And it was just fine.
We were all drinking the Kool-Aid.
It was just fine until you go out and get housed by Kentucky in Neyland Stadium. Then it's not fine, buddy.
Derek wants to know if we can get fake Brady Hoke to do the top five at five. What's the matter, Derek? Do you not think that Alex Olive did a good enough job doing the top four at four? I thought he did a very good job.
Fine job.
Oh, well, thank you, Bear.
Pick up the pace a little bit, but
I can do that.
You know, I'll give him some pointers.
Stay with us.
I want to know how Trey's been dodging having to do it all this time.
I mean, having
Trey's
to do
Trey's a news guy. He's glued in.
Having to do it. It's an honor and a privilege to be able to
I
do these
like,
things.
I feel like Trey's been dodging it.
I'm trying to figure out why you were demoted from it.
Ooh. I wasn't demoted.
Oh, ho, ho, ho.
I mean, you're the one who's constantly interrupting with breaking news. I figured you'd want to do it.
Why are you on Trey's case today, dude? This is a little out of line.
I'm not on Trey's case today.
You have been very rude.
Well, it's been several days now.
It's been.
And my wallet's still missing $30.
Set up a Venmo account.
I don't see why you can't just text it to me with Apple Cash.
You know what Apple Cash is?
Yeah. Apple Cash is already on my phone.
Okay, I'll send it over to you.
All you got to do is text it to me.
Stay with us. Nick Bromberg, YahooSports.com, coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
APEC.
Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Russell Bear, Trey back with you. Pleased to be joined now on the G3 Help Me Hotline by Nick Bromberg, YahooSports.com. Good afternoon, Nick. How are you, sir?
What's going on? Still trying to process the thought of Urban Meyer coaching in the NFL.
It is a strange thought to contemplate, is it not?
It really is. I mean, it was hard to dispute the fact that he had interest. I mean, I was very clear, but just the fact that it's actually happening now I'm fascinated to see who's going to be his offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, because it feels like he's going to have a guy or multiple guys with significant NFL experience here to ease the transition, because he's going to probably end up losing more games in his first year in the NFL than he did in his entire college coaching career.
But he has to know that, right? I mean, he can't be thinking, oh, I'm going to go in there. I'm Urban Meyer. We'll go 14-2 and win the Super Bowl right away. We'll have Trevor Lawrence. Like, he's got to know that this is going to be different in so many ways. And this is a guy who clearly has had difficulty handling the stress that comes with leading a big-time college football program. Well, now you're in the NFL. And like what you're saying, Nick, he's going to have to surround himself. He will not be able to micromanage that. He's going to have great coordinators, great coaches, and just be able to sit back and take on even more of a CEO role than he did at Ohio State.
Absolutely. You know, this is going to be – it's going to have to be a situation where he comes – he enters it knowing that he has to treat winning and losing – and he's going to have to treat game planning completely differently. But this is going to be completely differently than college. And he has the benefit of being in a league where if you lose 5-6 games in a season, it's not a disastrous season. You know, if you lose 5, you're 11-5, and you're probably going to the playoffs. So, you know, that's going to be huge for him to accept that losses will happen in the NFL. And also, too, we talk about how he's stressed over losses so much and how this drove basically his coaching career for Florida and then Ohio State with the health problems. We have to consider, too, that his last two stops were Florida and Ohio State, which obviously he had huge talent advantages there than most of the teams in his conferences. You're not going to have those talent advantages even if you have a really good team in the NFL. So knowing that not only is the stress from winning and losing going to be different, the in-game stress is going to be different because you're not going to have the 35-0 second quarter lead over an FCS school in week one that you would at Ohio State.
Well, he's got to be thinking, look, I'm going to have Trevor Lawrence, the best quarterback prospect to come into the NFL in many, many years. And, yeah, we might take it on the chin the first year, or maybe not. I mean, we've seen some good teams with rookie quarterbacks. But even if the first year is rough, he's probably thinking he'll be pretty set up well after that to perhaps make a nice 4 or 5 year run where they go to the playoffs and – who knows, maybe make a Super Bowl.
Especially, yeah, and it's especially going to be fun to see what they do with all the salary cap space because Jacksonville has the most salary cap space in the NFL. How does this team approach free agency? They're going to be obviously spending and signing some recognizable names, but are they going to be, I would think, again, to go along with the 4 to 5 year plan idea, you're going to be signing guys who are 25, 24, 25, 26, rather than guys who are 28, 29, because you're going to be building with Trevor Lawrence on a rookie contract rather than trying to turn a team that won in week one and then didn't win the rest of the way into some sort of immediate contender in 2021.
Nick Bromberg, YahooSports.com, with us this afternoon here on The Drive. And Nick, always looking forward to getting your thoughts on the Tennessee situation. And we understand that Jeremy Pruitt is meeting with the university's investigators today, so maybe this situation is coming towards a conclusion in the next couple of days, one way or the other. You look at Tennessee, and it's such a tough spot right now for Jeremy Pruitt or whoever the next coach is going to be. Your thoughts on where UT finds itself this week?
You know, I viewed when the news that Kevin Steele was joining the staff came out this week, I viewed that as a positive for Jeremy Pruitt and the status quo for 2021. Because that obviously is a stark change from the reports of there being a hiring freeze and things being in flux for the spring. Well, if you're bringing in Kevin Steele, I would think that means you're trying to go in status quo for 2021. Because to me, anyway, from my perspective, Kevin Steele doesn't look like the type of guy who you're going to bring in as an assistant, and all of a sudden you have a very experienced head coach or guy who has been a head coach on the staff in case you're going to make a change. If you're going to bring him in on staff while Jeremy Pruitt is still the head coach, it at least reasons to me that Jeremy Pruitt is going to be the guy in 2021, and you go from there. That being said, I was a little surprised that, you know, he's simply going to have a positional coach title rather than at a higher title, unless he does have assistant head coach added to his duties at a later date.
Do you think that depending on the results of this investigation, if worst case scenario for Pruitt, maybe best case scenario for a certain segment of our fan base, you have to fire Jeremy Pruitt and his entire staff? Kevin Steele is there. He's signed a contract. Tennessee has to have known that if that happens, that was a possibility when they offered Steele the deal. I think we all agree he's a pretty good candidate for an interim head coaching position at that point. Would he be a good candidate, in your opinion, for the permanent head coaching position?
I would have to take a long, hard look at that because we saw what happened with Steele and Auburn, and I think there was a reason that Auburn was slow and deliberate and looked outside the box, so to speak, for a guy like Brian Harsin, because from everything coming down from Auburn, it sounded like Kevin Steele really wanted that head coaching job. and after Gus Malzahn got fired. And Auburn could have easily said, hey, look, we're not going to have an external search. We're going to go with Kevin Steele. They clearly didn't, and they clearly took their time. Steele was not the guy. If he's not going to be the guy at Auburn, I don't necessarily know why Tennessee would make him want to be the guy for anything more than a season, especially given the fact that you look at his Baylor tenure, and his Baylor tenure was not very good at all. So I think at this point, with Kevin Steele 62, I believe, you know, he's I would liken him, if we're going to make an NFL comp, to a Vic Fangio type, where Denver is learning that Vic Fangio is a guy who's probably much more well-suited to be a defensive coordinator than a head coach. And I think, you know, Fangio maybe has another year or two, I would say, in Denver. I wouldn't be surprised if Denver makes a change after the 2021 season if things don't turn around there. And then a guy who immediately gets a very good defensive coordinator job again. That's kind of how I view Kevin Steele.
Hey, Nick, it's Trey. Thanks for joining us, buddy. Looking at a 2021 football season, Jeremy Pruitt, head coach, Kevin Steele, and they're going to bring in some others, you know, assistant coaches and guys that might have to leave. What does Tennessee have to do in 2021 to prove itself that this is a job that Pruitt can keep in 22? I mean, you've got 3 wins this year. So, like, what is a mark next year that people would be somewhat excited about? Because in year 4, you should be competitive with Florida, Georgia, and Alabama. And we saw this past year that it's kind of far off from that case.
Absolutely. It's hard for me to even think that a rerun of the Gator Bowl year of 2019 is acceptable at this point. Because, you know, as we said, you know, you look at the schedule, and if you pencil in a loss for Florida, Georgia, and Alabama, your margin of error is gone. And, you know, you have to look at this and you say, Tennessee has to flip one of those games and then hope you run it to 9-3, 8-4, I think worst case scenario here. But, you know, can we count on this Tennessee team, given all of the departures and transfers, you're losing a lot of experience, you need a lot of young guys to step up, can we count right now on this Tennessee team, what we think it's going to look like in 2021, to operate perfectly out with that margin of error being gone? I mean, we see them pull an upset, maybe, but then do you count on them to run the table elsewhere? I wouldn't bet that. I mean, I think right now, the benefit that Tennessee has, though, and I'm rambling here, but the benefit that Tennessee has here, which I think is a fascinating development for the SEC, is that we have seen the absolute middle class of the SEC wiped out. There is such a chasm right now from, you have Alabama at the top, and then I think you say, just a slight tick down to Florida, Georgia, Texas A&M. After that, you know, the SEC has been the SEC for the last 10, 15, 20 years because there's always been that team that has 4, 5, 6, even 6 losses that's been really good and stacks up well to teams across the country and would go out and, you know, destroy somebody in a bowl game. This year, there wasn't that. You had such a drop-off from those 4 teams to the rest of the conference, and I think that positions Tennessee well in terms of, hey, we can try to leap up into that middle class, but again, with 3 of the 4 juggernauts on your schedule on an annual basis, the mountain is much higher to climb than it would be even if you simply only had 2 of them.
Can you think of a time in the last 10 years where a head coach at a university is going to be on this much of a so-called hot seat going into another? Like, you know, I look at Derek Mason, okay, that's a little different. Look at Will Muschamp at Carolina, that's a little bit different. Like, it seems like there's a fracture between the university and the athletic department right now at Tennessee. And I want your opinion. Have we seen something like this in a while where you know that if he does not go out and perform and get 8 wins, particularly next year, that might be his last at Tennessee?
No, I am struggling right now to think of the last. Usually the recipe for a coach on the hot seat is one of 2 ways. You have the looming specter of NCAA allegations, and I think we've seen this a lot more on the basketball side with successful head coaches. And then you also have the guy who, like a Muschamp or a Mason, enters with a struggling football team knowing that things have to turn around quickly, and there's not that public specter of NCAA stuff. We've got a Power 5 coach here that is dealing with both, and that rarely ever happens. And so that's the thing. That's the problem. Is you've got a coach. If Jeremy Pruitt's the coach in 2021, you're not only having to defend off challenges that you're not running a clean program based on all the investigation that's going on right now, all while trying to improve it, turn everything around, and win more football games than you did the previous season. That's a college football coach can only do so much. And I don't think we talk about Urban Meyer being the CEO type. I don't necessarily know if people view Jerry Pruitt as that CEO type. And it's the type of program where you need a strong assistant coaching staff to get this done, especially with a strong head coach. And given the flux that is going on right now with the Tennessee coaching staff, it's going to be very hard to piece together a very strong assistant coaching staff on basically halfway through the month of January right now.
Hey, listen, this is my last question. I haven't been able to ask you this in about a month and a half, so I'm going to go and ask you now since we're a month away. How stoked are you to get Daytona underway, big boy?
It's going to be very odd not being at the Daytona 500 for the first time, I think, in a decade for me. I'm looking, you know, it's going to hit me. We got the Chili Bowl this weekend, and then the Rolex 24 in 2 weekends. So I am starting to get the itch again for cars to start going back in circles in my life. And, you know, as we saw today, we had the first of many Bubba Wallace paint schemes unveiled. So
that was fire. Yeah, that was pretty good. I'm not going to lie.
You know, I am a man who simpler is better. So you contrast that with the, I don't know what it was that they unveiled for William Byron's 24 car today, and I will take the 23 over the 24 any day of the week.
It's going to be interesting seeing Michael Jordan smoking cigars on top of a hauler at every other race this year.
Oh, it'll be great. You know, when was the last time, you know, we also now need to get the 23 hauler parked next to the 37 or the 47 haulers, so we can have Michael and Brad on opposing haulers there watching cars going in circles saying, look, we have two guys who battled it out in the NBA in the late 80s and early 1990s, and now here they are watching their cars going around the track in a NASCAR race in 2021.
I love it. Thank you, Russ, for letting me get that in there. I appreciate you.
Nick Bromberg, YahooSports.com. Check him out on Twitter, at Nick Bromberg. Thank you, man.
Hey, no problem. Hopefully my Chiefs get a win this week, and they're heading back to the AFC Championship game for the third straight year.
Oh, man. Being a Chiefs fan, that must be like the opposite of being a Tennessee football fan.
You know, I would say something to the fact that the Chiefs fans are spoiled, and they're getting very spoiled lately, don't get me wrong. But I grew up with a team that was either really pitiful or really good and then always choked in the playoffs. So it is kind of fun to have the hometown team be a winner.
Good stuff, Nick. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Nick appears, as all FanRun guests do, via the G3 Help Me Hotline. If your loved one is injured in an accident, call the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III. Visit g3helpme.com or call 865-558-8030. Serving all of East Tennessee with over 20 years of experience, let the G3 team get you the money you deserve. That's g3helpme.com. When we continue, Titans Bill will join the festivities. Stay tuned. The Drive continues right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Let's get Titans Bill in here. Good afternoon, Titans Bill. You're on The Drive.
You know, Bear, for once I
yes,
agree
Bill.
With you. Former's got to go. Pruitt has got to go.
Hey, Bill, right off the top, I would like to extend you a heartfelt apology on behalf of those idiots on Get Blitzed. I thought you were treated very shabbily the other day on their show.
Well, buddy Bear, thank you.
You're welcome, Bill.
What is this, the Bear Titans Bill Mutual Admiration Society? I mean, what's going on here?
You get on to me all the time. You say I don't treat Bill with respect.
You don't. You don't treat anybody with respect. You're a scoundrel.
Okay, fine.
I'm sorry.
So what happened to your Titans, buddy?
Oh, quicken on Bear, Dubsy.
What happened to our Titans?
Bear's my buddy.
Titans, Bill, the Titans, that was, of all the lousy kicks in the teeth, that was awful.
Yeah, it was. But, you know, still, They have nothing to be ashamed of. They had a fine season. I'm very disappointed. They did, you know, they didn't advance, but nonetheless, they had a good season. They won the AFC South, which was good.
Are you scared at all of Urban Meyer coming to the Jags?
No.
I'm not. I'm looking forward to beating them. This would be fun to watch one of my teams actually beat Urban Meyer.
Yeah. Dubsy, I'm glad you brought
me to root for the Titans, guys.
I'm glad you brought that coach thing up. You know, I saw where Jeff Fisher is interested in the UT head coaching job.
Oh, I'm sure he is. I'm interested in driving a Ferrari to work tomorrow. It's not going to happen.
I'll tell you what, I'd take the risk in hiring him.
Titans, Bill.
I would.
You want to hire Fitty Fitty? You want to hire Captain 8-8? He's never coached college football before, Titans, Bill. Why would you hire Jeff Fisher?
Well,
the last time we saw Jeff Fisher coaching Titans, Bill, he was at the Rams with Chris Winkie, just about to ruin Jared Goff's career. And then as soon as they got rid of him, they're in the Super Bowl.
Well, all right. You straightened me out there.
I talked you out of that pretty quick, didn't I?
Yeah, I don't know if I would want Kevin Steele, and I definitely don't know if I want Doug Marrone.
I'd take Marrone over Steele and Fisher 10 times out of 10.
Well, it's going to be very interesting, but I believe that Pruitt is gone, and I'd say Randy Boyd, use your head for something besides a hat rack and get rid of Fulmer too.
The way y'all have just turned on the battle captain. Bear gave him that nickname, and it went everywhere. And, it's saddening. It's disappointing. I hate it.
Yeah. But, you know, here's a guy here that promised he would build Tony Vitello a new stadium.
I don't know if he promised that. I mean, he said he would like to, but you know, are you talking about Boyd or Fulmer?
No, Fulmer.
Yeah, I think he said he would like to build. And by the way, Tony Vitello coming on the show here in about half an hour. Stay tuned for that. But I think he said that he would like to, in a perfect world, build a new stadium, but at the very least have a significant overhaul and renovation of Lindsey Nelson Stadium. But look, I mean, all that's put on hold. I think everybody's putting their baseball facilities projects on hold after this past year. And I think Tony Vitello probably knows that. That'll be an interesting thing to ask him. We'll bring that up when we have him on the show.
Because, look at all the other buildings they have given facelifts to. Gibbs Hall, facelift. The music building, facelift. Harris Hall, facelift. The business building, facelift, even though it's named after the Haslams. You know how I feel about the Haslams. I'm not a big fan. I don't care for the Haslams, if you ask me.
Okay.
It's the University of Tennessee, not the University of Haslam. Mm.
Derek Dooley noted.
And let's see here. Now the building that I used to work in, it needs a facelift.
The old art and architecture building? Yeah, that's I'm sure that looked like a modern architectural masterpiece when it was built in what, like 1975 or something?
Yeah, I think it was completed in 1981.
Mm.
So that definitely needs a facelift. So hey, that's all they have to do, just Just give a Lindsey Nelson Stadium the facelift and also build a pretty nice practice facility.
I agree. We'll bring that up with Tony Vitellico coming up here in just a little bit, Titans Bill. Anything
else?
What do you think? Is Jeremy Pruitt still our coach this time next week, or are we in the midst of some sort of coaching search?
I think they're going to be in the midst for a coaching search. And another thing, Peyton Manning, don't let the Haslams twist your arm like you did the last time when you hired a John Curry. You be your own man. Don't let the Haslams control you.
So you think Peyton Manning is going to have a say in who our next coach is?
He could. If he's involved,
is that a good thing?
He's involved, like they say that he is.
Do we want Peyton involved in the next coaching search?
I don't know. He signed off on Shiano, boys.
He did.
If they would have hired David Blackburn, we wouldn't be in the situation we're in right now.
Oh, wow. Ifs and buts.
Probably not.
Hindsight is 20/20, Titans, Bill.
But we'll see.
We'll see indeed. Thank you. Good to hear from you.
Bye-bye.
Titans, Bill.
What a pleasant phone call with my buddy William.
Making his presence felt.
Bye-bye. That was
nice.
I mean, they treated him, Chance, specifically.
Oh, my God.
Chance Collins treated him like he was just a piece of garbage.
But what about Chance unearthing the coldest?
And I forgot we found Jamie's burner account.
The coldest take in the history of Twitter.com. It was unbelievable. I can't believe he found this.
I mean, he had a screenshot. I mean, he's the prince of pettiness.
Chance Collins, former Drive producer. I guess he's just going through his old screenshots today, and he comes across this doozy from, and I won't out his former Twitter handle, but it is the caller Jamie. Jamie Utah. He of the, I'm always right about things, never been wrong. Next time I'll be the first. I ain't never called for anybody to be fired, didn't need firing, all that kind of stuff. The braggadocio, the swagger. How about this tweet Chance unearthed? Dateline, May 1st, 2017. So this is the off season of going into Butch Jones's last year, right?
8:04 p.m.
And I'd forgotten that Jamie was a huge Josh Dobbs detractor. Thought he was very overrated. How about this tweet from Jamie going into that year? Dormady and Jared will enlighten this fan base on just how a real quarterback plays QB. All the way to the end of the game, book it.
I think it'd be better if you'd read it in your Jamie voice.
How about in the Brady Hoke voice? Chance responds, I'm writing it down. Jamie says, good. I'm never wrong about these things. Dobbs' inflated legend will fizzle. His inability to win big games will live on forever. We're going to unpack this. Stay tuned. The Drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up.